let's go to the book of Hebrews tonight for the message. And I'm going to be brief as usual for the Lord's Supper service to leave us time to worship and for the Lord's Supper tonight. But there's a special Memorial Day for Christians, and it's the Lord's Supper. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. And it's a time for us to remember the one who gave his life for us, Jesus Christ. And if you want to be turning, we're going to go to Hebrews 10 is where we're going to start, Hebrews chapter 10. Every time we receive this bread and every time we drink of the cup, it's a memorial day, in a sense, for the Christian. It's a time for us to remember Christ's body and his shed blood. And tonight, I want to focus on his body, and maybe next time we do the Lord's Supper, I'm going to focus on the blood. But for tonight, I want to focus on the precious body of our Savior Jesus Christ. Because you see, it was no ordinary body, it was very special. And I want to show you tonight four things about the body of Jesus Christ that we're going to be commemorating here tonight that he gave for us. And the first thing is this, is that Christ's body was a prepared body. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and look at verse number 5. It says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body," notice a body, this is the Son talking, "a body thou hast thou prepared me." Christ's body was a prepared body. You see, God knew that the only hope for this world was for himself to take the form of flesh, human flesh like you and I. God knew he had to come into the world. God knew that he alone would be able to die and make an atonement for us. Jesus Christ was not simply a good man. He was not just a moral man. He was not simply a mighty prophet. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Did y'all hear me tonight? He's God manifest in the flesh. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And then everybody say that next phrase with me. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. I want you to look at this with me, John chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then it says, "And the Word," that's God. God was made, what, church? Flesh. "And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, my friend, God took upon himself a body of flesh, and he walked this earth. That's why it's so important that people make a decision either for or against Jesus Christ. Because there is no other way, like we just sung, when we get to heaven, The only thing that we'll be able to say when we get to heaven, it's not going to be bragging on ourselves, and I got here because I was a good person, and I got here because I did this, and I did that, and I was better than you, and I was better than you. No, when we get to heaven, there'll be one reason, and that's by the blood of the Lamb we made it through, and that's it. And so the Bible says that his body, Christ's body, was a prepared body. It was prepared of the Father, and he came into this world, and he took on our human flesh. But the second thing I want you to see from the book of Hebrews is that not only was Christ's body a prepared body, wasn't an accident, it was prepared, but number two, Christ's body was a sinless body. I want you to go to Hebrews 4, Hebrews chapter number 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and look at verse number 15. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Notice, he was in all points tempted like as we are. But then there's three important words. It wasn't just that he was tempted. Notice, he was tempted, and then say it with me, yet without sin. Jesus Christ entered into this world, and it was indeed a miracle. Why? Because Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. You say, what's the difference, Pastor Dan? What's the difference how he was conceived? What's the difference how he came into this world? Well, the difference is heaven or hell for you and I. You say, what do you mean? Because Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, he escaped the sin nature that you and I have inherited. He escaped that. See, he did not have the sin nature that you and I have. For example, you look at me, and you look at me, and you say, man, you look like a sinner, Pastor Dan. And you know what? I am a sinner. But guess what? Do you know who taught me how to sin? Who taught me how to sin? Pastor Rob. Who else? No, I'm just kidding. The answer is nobody, Clayton, right? Nobody had to teach me how to sin. Have you noticed that little children, you don't have to teach them how to be selfish? It comes real natural. You know, my toy, you know, that's mine. And, you know, you don't have to teach kids how to disobey their parents. You don't have to teach them how to be disrespectful. You don't have to teach them how to be self-willed and want their own way. Why? Because they inherit the sin nature from you and I. See, they get it from us. They get it honestly, you know. Well, you know, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He did not inherit the sin nature that you and I inherited. And the Bible teaches in our bodies dwells the law of sin. In our bodies dwell the law of sin. Not so of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Satan tempted Christ with sin, but to no avail. Now the devil has tempted me, and I've fallen. The devil has tempted you, and you have fallen prey to his temptations. I'll guarantee you, you have. You have sinned. But you know what? The devil tempted Jesus Christ, and it was to no avail. He never had an impure thought. He never spoke a word that was not wholesome. He never performed a deed that was not pure. And that cannot be said of anyone else. Muhammad was a sinner. Confucius was a sinner. David, King David, was a sinner. Moses was a sinner. The Apostle Peter was a sinner. The Apostle Paul was a sinner. Grandpa was a sinner. Your daddy was a sinner. Your mama was a sinner. We are all sinners, but Jesus Christ was sinless. He was the only one that was not a sinner. It's like the two construction workers that fell into a deep pit. And they fell into this deep pit, and the one construction worker that fell down there looked at the other guy who fell down there, and he said, save me from this wretched place. Get me out of this dirt and this mud. And the other guy looked at him and said, you idiot, how can I? I'm in the same place you are. I'm in the same plight you are. I'm in the same condition you are. How am I going to help you? Well, they're both in the pit. Neither one of them could help the other, but then they heard a voice from up on high there, and there was a third construction worker that didn't fall into the pit, and he you know, threw down a rope, and he told him to grasp a hold of it, and he saved him from the pit. He brought him up from above, see, to safety. The very best man among the prophets in the Bible could not save us from the pit of sin because he too was a sinner just like you and I. He landed in the same pit we did. But Jesus was God. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the Word incarnate. He was not sinful. He was virgin born. He came from above to save us from the horrible pit and the horrible mess that we're in. And just like those two workers in the pit, we cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus Christ can save us, church. Up on the screen, 1 Peter 1:19 says, but with we're redeemed. The verse before that talks about how we're redeemed. Notice, with the precious blood of Christ. And then notice how the Bible describes Jesus. As of a lamb, it likens him to a lamb because he gave himself on the cross. But then notice what it says about him. He was a lamb that was without what? Blemish. And without spot. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was holy. He was perfect. He was the Son of God. He was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. You see, his body was a prepared body, but his body was also a sinless body. But the third thing I want you to see, because remember, as we take this bread tonight, remember, that's a picture of his body, his broken body that he gave on the cross for us. And that's what I want to talk about right now, is I want to talk about, number three, that Christ's body was an offering for sin. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10 now. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at verse 10. Hebrews 10:10. The Bible says, Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the, notice that next word, what are we talking about tonight? The body. We notice it says we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For 33 years, he lived a sinless life. He never hurt anyone. He came as a meek and a lowly servant. But the Jews, moved with envy, took the sinless body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they laid upon that body unthinkable tortures. They scourged the body of Jesus, that sinless, holy body. They took it and they scourged it. They beat his head. They spit on him. They crowned his head with big old thorns that just crushed into his head to where the blood ran down. They drove nails into his hands. They drove nails into his feet. His body truly was a broken body. Why did God incarnate Jesus Christ? Why did he allow this? I want you to look at the screen here, and I want to bring up a verse. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth. That means he demonstrated. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, remember, who is sinless, he died, and what's the last two words? For us. As he hung on that cross, Christ was bearing a once-for-all offering for sin. He was becoming a once-and-for-all sin offering. He was the innocent dying for the guilty. He was the just dying for the unjust. He was the sinless dying for the sinner. It was not, now please understand, it was not the Roman soldiers that caused Jesus to die on that day. It was not the Jews who cried out, crucify him, that caused him to die that day. It was not the hammer, and it was not the nails that caused Jesus to die on that cross. It was my sins and your sins that caused him to die on the cross that day. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. You see, the body of Jesus Christ, the body of the precious body that we are celebrating here tonight, that body that hung on that cross, was an all. He was God in the flesh. Yes, he was. He was sinless. It was a sinless body. It was an offering for sin. But number four, the last thing is this. Christ's body is, and boy, praise the Lord for this. This will make you shout. Oh, I'm so thankful it doesn't end with number three. Bring up number four. Aren't you thankful? It's a resurrected body. Woo! Amen. It's not even Easter. Amen. Hey, we celebrate that every week. Amen. Hebrews 7. Go over there. Hebrews chapter 7. And as you're turning there, we know his body was laid in a borrowed tomb. And we know that the ladies came to anoint the body of Jesus. And the angel said, he is not here. He is risen. Now, they looked in that tomb and it was empty. Right? All the Jews had to do to stomp out Christianity from then and forever was to simply produce the body of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's not like they had ways they could move it quickly. I mean, all they had the governmental power to do it. All they had to do was produce the body. They couldn't do it. The tomb was empty. There was no body in there. And, you know, there are liberal scholars who deny that Jesus was raised bodily. They say, oh, no, he wasn't really raised bodily. He was raised spiritually. His soul and his spirit resurrected, but his body was left to decay. You know what? Once again, I believe I'm just going to trust God's infallible word rather than the scholarship of man. Jesus Christ appeared bodily after the resurrection to over 500 eyewitnesses, and then there were eyewitnesses that watched him bodily ascend back up into the heavens. The Bible says he ascended and he sat down. In fact, look at Hebrews 7 real quick, verse 24. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever. In other words, he's alive. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he, and everybody say the next two words, ever liveth. Say it louder. He what? Woo! Boy, I think that's making Satan pretty mad. What do you think, huh? Man, we got hundreds of people that are testifying to what the Bible says. He is able to save people to the uttermost. Has he saved you to the uttermost today, huh? Are you saved to the uttermost? Well, you know why you're saved? Because the Bible says, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Whew. He is alive. It was a prepared body, a sinless body, an offering for sin, and then a resurrected body. The Bible promises to those of us who know Christ that one day Jesus Christ is going to appear bodily in the clouds. And the Bible says that he is going to change our vile bodies, fashion them like unto his glorious body, and that's going to be at the return of Jesus Christ. As he resurrected, he ascended to heaven bodily. One day the Bible promises he will return bodily. He is not going to send an angel to come get us. He's coming in person to get us. I like the way the Bible says it right here. We'll bring it up on the screen. For the Lord, and what is the next word? Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He is going to return bodily for us. Are you ready for his return? Are you ready? When we eat of that bread of the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial. We are remembering Christ's body. It was no ordinary body. Would you all say amen to that, huh? It was a special body. What was it? Well, let's look at it again on the screen. We said Christ's body was, number one, a prepared body. We said, number two, it was a sinless body. Number three, it was an offering for sin. And number four, praise the Lord, it is a... Are you thankful for the body of Christ tonight?